say anything bad, all right? Talk about me.
You know, I've been coming to the meetings for about a year, and your mayor hasn't been there except once or twice. And I think in that time, it gives you the ability to really evaluate the chief and the job that he's done and how he works with the fire commissioners and the issues that might be a problem maybe would come to a light to the rest of us, because I didn't know those issues. Whatever the issues are that people are having with the chief, I never understood them. So maybe give it some time, you know, and maybe you'll form your own team and the teamwork will come together. Again, I just wanted to say thank you. I appreciate it. Every one of you guys, we spent some long meetings together doing the budgets, and we didn't always agree, and that's what's really great is that we didn't agree, but we all came to good decisions. Goodbye, and I'll see you guys on the public side.
Service they provide. I don't think we can stop and think for any moment of how good these people really are and how they take care of us. You know, our insurance ratings, everything. So I came to see what's going on. What can you explain to me that convinces me why the chief should leave? All right? And I hope you're honest about this. And remove this veil of secrecy or whatever I think that I've heard is going on, and put it on the record. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bill Sarnoff, Command Terminated 1-0.
Incentive. We gave him that incentive. because he completed the task and he did a wonderful job, and he's actually, there's still issues that he's dealing with on a daily basis. He's doing a wonderful job doing it. So, the last November Hillshire City Council meeting, I was replaced by our mayor. And the reason was, and I understood the reason, was that there would be a direct line of communication between the City Council and the Fire Commission, going back to those budget concerns that I mentioned earlier. Again, while attending the City Council meetings, I've never heard the discussion, nor have I seen an agenda item concerning the appointment of the chief. You can go back and look at our agendas, you can read the minutes, and there's nothing in there. As was pointed out last night, Commissioner Bersinger's first task as sitting fire commission was to cancel a meeting that I scheduled at the request of one of the other commissioners to get this information that we heard about last night and that's been floating around out to the commission and out to the public so we could address it. He immediately canceled that meeting. And then he changed what should have been the council meeting, the commission meeting last night to one live. See a lot of faces over here last night. So I'm kind of confused. How does termination of the fire to facilitate a trip line of communication to the Hillshire City Council? To me, that's not one and the same. And the other thing that was brought up last night, got interested in was that Alan mentioned that his city council gave him direction to relative to the termination of the fire chief. So I took some time today and I went on and I read the agendas and the minutes from all of the open city council meetings. And I brought them with me, like a copy of them, and had them given to me. I didn't see anything relative to the fire chief, his employment, termination of that. So I'm kind of curious when that discussion occurred. And to me, it didn't happen in open city council. So the citizens of that city I've lived in, grew up in, would learn about it. Then I think there's an issue with that. This is something that should have happened, held, and done in an open for everyone to see. And I don't think that's been done. There's been a lot that's been done behind closed doors without the knowledge of our citizens. I know. I mean, it's funny. I have friends that are talking to me buying pitchforks to show up at these meetings. And now I think any future discussion of the term of the chief must end until someone's ready to discuss a valid reason to justify his termination in open at a meeting like this or a city council meeting. Thank you for your time.
My name is Steve Bass. I live in Spring Valley Village. I happen to sit on the city council there, but I do not stand here tonight and speak for the city of Spring Valley Village. I speak for me and my family as a concerned citizen. This is a clown show, plain and simple. Can I ask questions?
You can, but
can't answer.
They can really only
can't answer. Can I ask you a question?
You
said last night that this is run by Robert's Rules of Order, right?
Correct.
So when the chairman opens something for discussion, can a commissioner interrupt and call for a vote without the discussion happening? And under Robert's Rules of Order?
So under Robert's Rules of Order, the way it typically goes is you have a motion and a second and then discussion. But the vast majority of...
So they were out of line last night?
No. No, there was a motion and a second, and then they had the discussion. That's actually the way
it works. Okay. So he called for discussion first, right?
When he
opened up, when they dispensed, when there was no prior business to take care of, it was just this one issue, he said, I'll open it up for discussion. And then the commissioner from Hedwig said, before we do that, I want to make a motion to terminate the meeting.
And again, under Robert's Rules of Order, you do have a motion and a second followed by discussion.
Okay. And today, the city of Hunter's Creek asked him to resign. That's, I don't know how to put this. I'm in a public forum with ladies present. Keep it clean, okay. It's ridiculous. That's a sad state of affairs for the city of Hunter's Creek. I'm just going to say that right out loud here in front of everybody. And you can tell your mayor that Steve Bass said it. You can tell everybody in Hunter's Creek Steve Bass said it. And mayor, what, chairman, you asked a man that would have been the former chairman to step down so you could take this seat, so you could help drive this agenda, and you think that's okay? Where does this agenda come from? It, I know nobody's got the guts to talk about it. Y'all made that apparent last night. Even your mayor got up and walked out when things got heated last night. So there's no doubt that nobody up there that's pushing this agenda has the gut to the fortitude to stand up and say what's really going on. We all know. We all know somebody has a friend that they want to put in here as the fire chief of the villages. It's plain and simple. We've all heard the rumors. And it is just that. It's rumors. There's no fact. I understand that. It's all rumors. But the way y'all are handling this is just, it's unconscionable. Unconscionable that you would have a meeting and not talk about what the meeting's about. Can you, I know you can't answer, but I mean, you're sitting there, at least I hope you're thinking about, that makes sense. This is wrong. We can't do this. This is not something we should be doing. I just don't get it. I really don't. And council, I hope you have guided them into what they can and can't do and how they're talking about it. Because I have learned in council that I have talked to at length about this. And I'm telling you, if the chief decides he wants to do something, it's going to cost the villages a lot of money. Because this is wrong. It's wrong. Y'all put out an email, you put out a letter accusing him of doing things that has been proven not to have been done. And now you're sitting here continuing with the termination process? You're getting bad advice somewhere. Really bad advice. And I think the lady last night said that even though you're public officials, you're not exempt from a lawsuit as individuals or something like this. If you wrongfully terminate someone, you are on the hook. Am I right or wrong?
I mean, that's...
It's conjecture. It's to be determined in court, I know. But you need to think about that. And I hate to bring that up. I would like to think you just do the right thing as human beings, as men. Be a man and do the right thing. Don't oppose someone else's wishes. Don't be here coming out here trying to get something done that somebody else wants. Stand up and be your own man like Mr. McClellan did last night. It makes you look weak. It really does. It makes you look weak. And you may not care.
It makes you look sketchy. Okay?
It's terrible. Terrible. As elected officials, you should be ashamed of yourselves. Ashamed. I don't say how you go home at night and not drink yourself into a stupor. This is ridiculous. That's all I got.
I'm embarrassed to even have to say this to you. fiduciary responsibility to your citizens, not to your the people on your committee, your council. Your citizens, that's who you're endangering by what you're trying to do. Thank you.
I guess I'll be the third female on the OSB. My name is Joy McCormick. I live at 8713 Cedardale in Spring Valley Village. I also happen to serve on the City of Spring Valley Village City Council along with two of the commissioner and our assistant commissioner here. I want to first start off, as I did last night, and I'm sorry if I sound like a broken record, but we all should be thankful for the men and women sitting in this room that serve us on a daily basis and provide life-saving services to the citizens and residents of the villages, because without them, what are we even here for? And okay, I just want to say thank you, and again, from my personal experience, 4 minutes and 23 seconds in taking care of my family, and so I still have a husband that's at home right now. I want to address something that was said last night, because I think it was a bit concerning that one of the commissioners kept using a term dictator, I think, and I haven't been able to see minutes, so that was brought up like twice. I hope that wasn't an insinuation of the City of Spring Valley Village, because I would hope that no one on this commission sees themselves as a dictator. I know the way we work in our city, and I can only speak to that. Being a public official isn't always fun. I applaud you for your service, because it sure isn't always fun. But on every single agenda for every regular council meeting we have a discussion on the Memorial Village Fire Department from one of our commissioners, namely Commissioner Carpenter, and if he wasn't in attendance, which is very rare, then from our alternate Bo Bodie. And I will say, we go over, kind of made fun of it last night, we go over every dollar, every issue, every single item. Sometimes it's a 20 to 25 minute briefing just on this commission. So to assume that someone who is sitting up at this table representing the City of Spring Valley Village is acting as a dictator, I was highly offended by that, and I want the public to know that is not the case in my impression of what is going on, especially in Spring Valley. That may not be the case in some of your other villages. And if you're a resident of those other villages, you may want to look into that. Next thing I'm going to talk about really quick is I'm a public school kid. I grew up as a daughter of a superintendent, so I had to attend a lot of meetings in a similar forum to this. It was shameful to see how that meeting went down last night. I don't want to get into the, I'm sorry, but you have to serve as counsel to this commission, because that's a hard job right now, going through Robert's Rules of Order. I've seen better PTA meetings go, I've seen PTA meetings go better than things went last night. The fact that that was a regularly called meeting, and we heard nothing about the regular operation of this department, protecting the safety and lives of their citizens, is deplorable. And the fact that we blatantly just didn't even, I can't even get over that. And thank goodness there weren't any Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts here last night. That's all I have to say, okay? They can come sit in maybe some of y'all's council meetings and be better educated. And the final thing, I was hoping to address Mayor Jeeves and thank him, and he's not here, and I know we're all busy, and I apologize for my attire because I have somewhere else I'm supposed to be right now, but I wanted to thank him in person, because Mayor Jeeves actually helped coordinate last year something that I am a part of. I serve as a volunteer for the Memorial High School Senior Car Parade. Doesn't that sound fun? So I will tell you this, so I don't need applause for that. It is an awful thing to coordinate. I'm just going to say that. It's a wonderful event, but it requires a lot of coordination. There's 6 villages involved, 3 PDs, and the Memorial Village Fire Department. And without the leadership of Chief Foster last year and Mayor Jinks getting headway in line, it probably wouldn't have happened. And you know what a beacon of light was on that day, going back to a light on the hill, was when the Memorial Village, the main engine pulled out, shining bright red. We had 200 cars full of happy and smiling kids and adoring parents and the community out there at a community event. That's what this is supposed to be about. This commission is here to lead. So again, I'm asking you to lead and do what we're all here for. Protect the lives and safety of your residents that you serve, and let's drop the drama. Thank you so much.
responsibilities of the chief is to find these good people. It's the responsibility of the cities to pay them in a competent fashion, because we went through that all for a long time. It's also incumbent on the villages to retain those by giving them good benefits and funding pensions. That's how you retain quality people. You know, I'm not going to say that, you know, we are privileged to have kind of quality, first-class Rolls Royce, Bentley, and we can see some of these driving around here right now. Other people, how they come to our house, whether they're emergency calls or they're fire calls, we have incredible response times. 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, you know, I'm 90 seconds away if I have an emergency. That means something. But it also means that someone's doing something to retain these people and train these people. It's all part of the budget. And working with these people, they have a relationship. So I'm just going to say how I feel and how efficient I am. And whatever this shenanigans is, this hidden hand that's playing out now for some sort of, I'm not going to call it sinister, but some sort of like immature reason. I've heard things. And I would only think, this man says here, that someone has the balls to say, okay, we're doing this because, and here's the reason. All right? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. No other comments. We'll move on the agenda to item number 3. We have the consent agenda. I think the first item is approval of the minutes, special meeting October 22nd.
Any move adoption of the consent agenda.
Pardon?
I move adoption of the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Approved. Next we'll have the reports. First report would be the steering committee report on possible action and facility update on the current roof.
Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
Can you all hear me? Yeah.
Microphone might be better.
Yeah, maybe the mic.
I think everybody needs to use the mic. I think everybody.
Hey, Mike. My name is Robert Byrne. I'm on the steering committee for Captain for a few years now as our ongoing project for building the station. I failed to notice something on the agenda this evening, so I wrote my report to include two items, but right now I'll only address one, and that will be on the current roof. So bear with some of my language up here. We're going to talk about replacing the newly constructed roof on this apparatus today and the connection between the station and the campus. I want to talk a little bit and do a recap because we have some new members. But maybe the public would be interested in knowing this. So here's a recap on the replacing of the new roof here and the building in the back. The discovery was made by the BNP Fire Department, third-party consultant, Norex, after construction. They found the passing pattern of the installed roof did not match the submitted drawings approved by the roofing material supplier. Norex then informed the BNP that the roof did not meet the specifications due to this issue. At the following Fire Commission meeting, very next morning, the Commission reviewed this information and directed the Steering Committee to inform Construction Masters, our general contractor, of the rebuild project, that the roof needed to be replaced. We weren't accepting this from the roofs. The Steering Committee called a meeting of all related parties concerning a replacement roof. This included the architect, GC roofing, subcontractor, material supplier, and our roofing consultant, which we had been advised to continue to use through the process, PCI. The message of replacing the roof was delivered to the GC at that meeting. GCVN proposed having a lift test performed on the installed roof to determine if it would actually meet the requirements of the specifications. If it passed, he asked that the VFD reconsider having the roof replaced. He agreed to pay for all test-related issues, and the VFD could select who performs the test. If the test failed, the team of course replaces. The steering committee asked the PCI and our consultant for an opinion on the GC's proposal. PCI confirmed this test was performed regularly and yielded accurate data for use in determining how a roof would perform, and added, if the test passed and the VFD accepted the results, the interruption to operations at the station would be avoided. With the possibility of avoiding interruption to operations at the facility during a roof replacement, the steering committee decided to allow the test. The test was performed and failed to meet specified requirements. We are now moving forward with the plan to replace these roofs. On November 15th, a meeting was coordinated by the GC and attended by all parties involved with roof items that may be affected by this roof replacement. A plan began to develop. The chief was consulted about how operations would be least affected and a construction timeline was estimated. The results of the meeting were, trying to answer some questions, I'm going to do this, 4 to 6 weeks for the replacement. The start date has not been determined due to material availabilities being confirmed, because all materials need to be purchased and ready for use before the project begins. We want to get in and get out. The GC will have supervision throughout the term of the project. The roof will be removed in sections one at a time. The architect, PCI, our roofing consultant, and roofing material supplier will be notified when each section is ready for inspection and approved before being finished, and then the next section will begin. The GC has agreed to cover expenses by the VFD for our consultant at inspection times and a final review. Questions?
So we don't know when the roof will be.
I'm sorry.
We don't know when the roof will be done exactly.
We do not know when the construction or reconstruction of the roof will happen.
They're going to take care of this?
Yes, it will be taken care of between general contractor. We report to our general contractor reports to us how the base part will be.
Hey, Robert, just so I know, what roof is it? Is it the building we're in here?
Okay, this space that we're in now was added on to the original apparatus thing. This tall roof here was rebuilt. And then there is a connection in the back, which is layered, and that was enclosed in the inner roof, and that connected the two buildings. Those are the two roofs.
So it's this roof and that connection?
Yes, sir.
And it sounds like there's no liability to us. They're going to cover us.
There is no liability to us.
I recognize you say they're not going to start it until all the materials are on hand. I think that's a very wise thing with the supply chain issues that have been experienced over the last couple of years. Are you aware of any critical path item that isn't available? I know we won't know that we've got it until we've gotten it, but do you have the sense that they will be able in a timely manner to get the materials needed?
I think that all the materials they need are available. As of yesterday morning, we got an updated email from the general contractor, and he still doesn't have all of his materials prepared, so he cannot give us a start date yet.
When would you anticipate, in broad sense, that this would be able to start?
Well, unfortunately, I think that it's probably going to start sometime in January. Okay. It's cold. The one may be able to get in and out of one section in a day, at least covered enough at, you know, for the inspector to get one out and move on to the next section.
Thank you for continuing to follow up on this.
Well, thank you. It's been the second part of my report. Tower's the tower. There's don't need to focus on that right now. And we abandoned, I think, the chief's here. He knows, maybe has a better memory than I do on this, that we kind of abandoned spending the money on refurbishing the tower.
It's, you know, I'm not a roofing contractor, I'm not an expert. It would seem to me that to make a wise decision, it makes sense for us to seek the counsel of our roofing consultant, find out what the pros and cons of this alternative are, because you certainly, it's a 10% of the cost of the other alternative, and I think we owe it to our constituents to explore and see if it's a viable alternative.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Anybody else? What's the warranty on the steel roof? You know?
I didn't prepare for that question.
20 years.
Was it 20?
I thought it was 50. John may know.
I think it was.
Is it longer?
Yeah. It's 50.
Yeah, go ahead, John. Yeah.
The only reason I know about this stuff is 20 years ago, I was in the energy efficiency control. I ran across this fellow at the office. They were doing an aircraft carrier decks with the same material that the companies. And they didn't have a spot to do the same materials. And at the time, they were probably out of 50 year warranty on the bounce front. And that made it end off the deck list. But the reflectivity that was in that and the installation qualities led me to refer clients to use that product. And for what is your name?
Most economical way to go, but less than a tenth of the price. So I'd like to get an expert's judgment on that.
Isn't that best handled in the steering committee? Isn't that best handled in the steering committee? And then let the steering committee come forward with a proposal with the consultant if necessary for the commission. You know, that's what we've done before.
That's similar.
We can coordinate with the consultant, but I will not be part of promoting one way or another. This commission has to make that decision. Not that I'm not qualified, I'm just not in a position to make any decision of how to spend the funds of this fire department.
That's why we've got the consultant.
Well, I'll get with ECI and we will come back with the time he can possibly come to the next commission meeting.
Yeah, okay. Sound like the right plan?
Sounds good.
Thank you. Yep.
Sounds good.
All right, we have our director.
Okay. Next order of business is section 4B, treasurer financial reports.
I'm going to go up to the mic.
Okay.
I was going to take a bigger role in this, but since I can't talk yet.
Sorry, I'm
Marlo, I was waiting for this time.
Marlo, I was going to take a bigger role in this, but since I can't really talk, I'm going to have to rely on you a little more.
Okay.
And Chief, as always, you chime in on any of these categories we talk about.
Sure.
Okay. Marlo, did you give this to the rest of the commissioners?
You're welcome. And what this is I just kind of took November, and so that way you would have kind of an idea of what it is and start looking at towards the end of the year. So this is not final numbers, they are
October?
This is November. So you have October in your
board. We've got October in the board back into this November.
It looks like here we are.
And as you can see, there are a number of budget categories that are some concern right now. And we'll just discuss them briefly each as quickly as possible. Starting under capital expenditures, you will note that we have spent 97% of our funding for miscellaneous tools, equipment, and hoes through November. And I guess, Chief, is that 3% going to be enough to cover us for the month of December?
Yes.
All right. And if you say on protective gear, we have spent 106%, so we are over on that. And this does not include any funds for the hazmat suits, the new turnout gear.
Oh yes, this does. The November does include, we made the payment this year, that's what it could include. That may not come out this year, but we're hoping that they said it's about 60 days, so from the time that we're approved for our surgery, that's the last one we received. That does include
27th if you were here on January 1 and you're here on December 31st. So we never go over in that category because we know who's here on the 1st, and even if we hire people during the year, they don't earn that deferred compensation. So you don't have to worry about that.
Now, on ambulance and medical supplies, we're at 104% for the year. We did not budget that.
Before the economy is where it is today.
Relaxed, you like.
Okay, I just wanted to be sure.
Okay, I found September 20th, 2022, which is the report on medical inflation, and the medical supplies inflation rate for the year to date has been 18%. So that pretty well explains the difference there. Now, should we have anticipated it? That would be that great. That's a different question. I don't know the answer to that. Okay. And it's the same with building supplies and maintenance. We're up on that at 92%. And I could not find any inflation indexes that broke that up in any way that was meaningful. And I don't think we're actually doing any more building maintenance than we were last year, are we? So we'll see where that ends up. Gas and oil, it's up, as you can see. We're at 95.82%, and I think we will be over 100% by the end of the year. Again, that fuel inflation rate as of October 1st this year was 17.5%. And again, I don't know if we should have anticipated that or not, and we'll have to look at how we do that in the next budget cycle. The other significant category where that's out of line, yeah, a bit, is public utilities, where we're up substantially. We're at 131% of budget through November. Again, the price increase for electricity in 2022 has averaged 25% nationwide. It appears to be about 22% in Texas, as best as I can find. And
natural gas price increase.
Exactly. And that explains that. So we're going to have to deal with these. Marlo, I'm going to stop for a moment and let you talk about the ambulance fund, if you don't mind.
Could I ask a quick question before we move on? The column headings here, what you have is 22. Is that 22 through November, or is that all of 22's budget on the first column?
That's 22's budget.
Okay. And then, so 20, the second column is the amount spent through November?
Year to date.
And then the November number, is that the quantity or quantum of expense in November for that item?
Yes, some of those are going to be a little bit different. I think the final numbers and everything is going to be yes, that was going to be year to date on all of these numbers.
And on the protective gear, I know we discussed, you know, there's been an amendment to allow purchase of the gear. First of all, this is cash basis, not accrual, right? So this number, this 186, this... Yeah, that's why I'm confused. We're
number in here, but we haven't spent it. So it's an accrual or is it a tax?
Yes, that would be correct. It's an accrual because we haven't received it yet. It's limited in the rest of that when you see what if there's a potential that we're going to get it by December.
If we have a signed contract, we will approve the cost that those purchases in January for the 2022 expenditures, because we have a firm liability.
So this is, even though we're on a cash basis, we're showing accruals. I'm confused. I'm not
only
looking.
Show accruals at the end of the year. If we have a signed PO for the bunker gear, we can accrue that cost in 2022 because we have incurred the liability then. In that budget year.
But whether the money is actually dispersed next year doesn't matter. It's counting the counterparts, the specific.
Even if you're on a cash basis?
Okay. Because the POs are accepted. It's like a credit card. You charge a credit card and kind of plus your income. I think. That's the way you understood.
So, when we take the 112 figure of the ambulance fund, how much will we have left in there? About $67,000? $57,000?
On the end of the day, on the end of the total capital expenditures? Yes.
Okay.
Special meeting to get this dealt with.
So, back to Robert. Can you get this consultant in the next couple of weeks?
I can reach out to you tomorrow.
Okay.
We'll see, you know, where it is in the schedule.
I'm personally, I'm ready to say do the overlay. I personally don't even consider doing the full roof.
Even if he does say that we should do the full roof, you don't have $181,000 to do it at this point. And when it needs to be done, it's leaking.
I couldn't hear what all you
said. I say we just move and do the overlay. Just do the overlay. Just make the decision to do the overlay. He's got the money. It's quick. It's easy. We don't have to drag this out. We can get the roof fixed as soon as we can get them out and do the overlay.
We had a pretty extensive discussion. I said this last night. We had a pretty extensive discussion about the overlay at either the August meeting or September meeting. I can't remember which. And it sounded like it was something that was very doable. And they were going to give us a 20-year guarantee on it. This main roof, we needed a 50-year guarantee. And that's what we're going to get.
Y'all look up. If I understand correctly, the consultant did say this was one of the three viable options.
Yes.
Well, y'all are ready to move ahead. Maybe we don't need to have
it. Yeah, I'm ready to vote. Okay. We have a motion to go ahead with the offer to quote on the roof coating.
I'm not sure Marlo can hear.
Okay.
Is there a Morris motion?
Yeah.
We're talking about moving forward with the overlay. Do you have any concerns with us moving forward and doing the overlay as the option?
I'm very cautious now about making recommendations.
I got you.
I think the overlay is provides us with a guarantee, a warranty, prevent leaks if it were my house and I didn't have $180,000 and I had that roof, I would do an overlay and then look at the future costs of doing other things. But in the meantime, that building is full of electronic gear that we just put in and it's got leaks.
Just to move things along, Mr. Chairman, I move we proceed with the overlay.
And I'm sorry to interrupt, but since we're on a different agenda item, we need to wrap this one up and then have a motion to suspend and then go back.
All right.
Thank you, Robert. Just to wrap up quick tomorrow. Well, let's jump to the facility fund statement at page 5 of our account report. And if you would explain for the new commissioners just what the numbers on that page mean and how they're and how we use them.
Okay. I think I heard what you said, sorry. On the facility fund and the ambulance revenue. Is that what you were asking about? Okay.
Did y'all hear me
okay or is it a little bit? Okay, so he was asking about the facility fund and the ambulance revenue. So facility fund, currently we have $248,000 in there once we pay, $272,000 in there. We will pay the retainage once everything is complete for the facility, correct? And then we'll have about $24,000 left over with everything that is paid for the facility. So that's the balance. Once all bills are paid through the facility, and that's marked on there, just giving you that information. The retainage will be paid once this facility is complete. EMS revenue, right now, we have $227,000 minus the $150,000 is gonna give you about $77,000. That has already been moved, as I said,
budget
thing, and it's moved into that. So that has that. But I just want to put that information on there. That 114, I did discuss getting a better rate for the gear if we could order it this year, and they came back and said we could lower it by 4%. So I got them from 121 to one for 14. So that's just letting you know that that's where we are on the buffer here. I don't know if there's any questions on the ambulance revenue, but we do have about, like I said, roughly $77,000 in the ambulance revenue, and still what we have December to go through. So that may be a that's what's left over the ambulance fund. We have some items that are over in our budget. There you go. Any questions?
So we have $77,000 in the funds in the ambulance.
Right.
Semi ambulance.
It's not committed to anything.
Not committed, yes. So, but it's there, and if we can ask, we can talk to the city and mention if there are resources that if we have to true up the budget due to the ambulance fund, we certainly can.
And that's what we're doing.
And that's what we've been doing.
But
last night. So anyway, that's my staff. We are fully staffed. I think somebody during the public comments mentioned that this department has in the past had trouble recruiting personnel. Right, Mr. Hewitt. We did have trouble. Those that have been on the fire commission are aware of this. During our last application period, we got over 20 applications, which is like 19 more than we got in time before. This department is currently drawing firefighter paramedics from the third largest fire department in the country, and that's the city of Houston, because they want to come aboard for this fire department. Here's one of them. I think we have seven ex-Houston fire paramedics, something like that. These guys come with a lot of experience, and they come here to work for this department. And I gotta say, they come here to work for me. But you received a call yesterday, a different subject from Tabor Burnett. Those of you who haven't been here a while know Tabor Burnett is our accounting firm. The process we use to do our budget is Marlo and Catherine do the books all month long. They entered into a software program. At the end of the month, they close the software. They close the books. What she did today. And then she takes the books that she mails or emails them to Tabor Burnett, and they review, I call it audit, I've been slapped on the hand for calling it audit, but they review our books. It's a third party reviewing our financials. So when you guys get the financial report, you get it also from Tabor Burnett. It's a second check and balance on making sure that we're doing things honestly and we do it. In addition to that, of course, we have an audit at the end of the year, as Robert tells us that. We got a call from Tabor Burnett yesterday that they're no longer going to represent this department. When I started here, there was a fire commissioner that said that we needed to open bids for accounting. I think y'all remember that. We were spending $56,000 a year for Tabor Burnett. We did. We opened the bids for accounting services. Tabor Burnett was charging us $5,600 a year. But somebody did turn in a bid for $56,000 a year. They told us that they would continue doing services for us through next year.
They're increasing the price to
$1,300 a month. I don't know exactly why they're doing this, but I do know yesterday I got a to health insurance, Catholic does that for all the employees, and when the cities pay their bills, we handle the administrative portion of sending it to the insurance company. Is that right? So that's there too. And we have a gasoline fund that's not in our budget, because we also have fuel pumps that everybody uses fuel pumps. Catherine Carlo sent out an invoice monthly to the cities, and they pay for the fuel. So those are not also not in our operating fund because they're not part of the fire department operations. Total calls, got it. I think that's what I have. Any other questions?
Mr. Chair, I'd like, and Chief, you were at the City Hedwig Village Council meeting where we discussed on the record the philosophy, at least of our city, with respect to how the fire department budget should be put together. And I'd like to advise the commission that it's our view as a city that the ambulance revenue is simply fungible money that the fire department brings in that offsets the cost of operating the fire department. So it is sort of, and I'm saying it's not properly accounted for, but I think it could be accounted for better by simply saying that this ambulance revenue that we know that we've got at the end of the year should be applied towards the expenses of the fire department and not go through this budget rigmarole of saying, okay, we've got money that we collect that belongs to the cities, we're going to give it to the cities, but then we're going to ask the cities to give it back to us to offset other expenses. We should just roll it into the budget and have a good, accurate budget going forward that offsets whatever the revenue is that the ambulance fund has, should offset on the proper pro rata basis the amount of money we ask the cities to provide in the coming year. And then we're no longer talking about ambulance revenues and doing the back and forth shuttle.
Sorry.
And I'm sorry, but that isn't on as an action item, so we really can't have any discussion right now.
Yeah, I'm just saying what our position is.
I know fire staff may appreciate something because the accusations are strong, but the opinion from staff from other cities is that it's considered a slush fund. There has never been a penny spent from our EMS revenue that has not been approved by the city. Any other questions?
No. Ladder 1, rescue 2. An engine 1 responded to motor vehicle collision. 83 wheels, single road. 83 wheels, single road. Time of 19:27.
There are no injuries, but an adult female was
discuss and consider possible action on the following. 5A is follow-up and discussion on wall time after delivering patients to hospitals. So I'll open up the floor for discussion. I think, Chief, you provided us some data here.
Yes, sir. You can see on the chart that I put a trend line. Somebody stopped in the office. I don't remember who it was. I've had a lot of visitors today while I was doing this. These numbers are not in some kind of computer program. These numbers are, I pull them directly off the response reports. The dispatchers, to get the most accurate times, listen to the calls when they come back on the recording to ensure that the times are accurate. So that somebody said that I'm providing inaccurate times. Absolutely not true. The Memorial City Hospital wall times were pretty flat. You can see the trend line. It went up a little bit in November. The top red line is the worst times of all. I think just to identify the worst. Usually that's in Memorial City. So you can see if Memorial City, the blue, it's not, it's the orange on the bottom. And you can see that most of their calls are between the orange and the worst at the top. So they have gotten better. Are they back where they need to be? Not yet, but they are getting better. Our medics are getting better about watching. I mentioned this last month too. They do hospital shopping when they need to go to the hospital. If a patient does not care what hospital they go to, any residents here have doctors in St. Luke's or in other places. But if we have a patient, like on the interstate right now, if this was a serious wreck, they would go downtown to the trauma center. But generally, they try to call and see how busy Memorial City is. Right now, Memorial City, Steve, raise your hand back there. Steve's wife is a high-end manager at Memorial City, right? She is, like, the nursing manager or something, director of nursing. Sorry, she's a director, she's not a manager. Steve shared with me this morning that all their ICUs are full. Yeah, so they're full of patients. So what our medics are doing is that they know they're going to end up sitting for an hour and a half at Memorial City. They'll go to Greater Heights. Sometimes they go down to Haiti because it's just quick. So that's why you see that the worst times are a little better because we're not going to places that are trying.
Very complicated. We have 1 hour and 5 minutes.
Chief, is this total out of service time from dispatch to in service,
yes,
or
sir,
just the wall time?
No, that's total out of service time.
Thank you.
And that's what's important for us from when they leave the station until they get back. We were looking last summer at 2 hours, and you can see it's, except for the worst runs, it's now at an hour and a half. So it's gotten better from when it was the worst, but not because of Memorial City, because they're shopping at the hospital.
How long do you think they're staying at the hospital?
How long are they staying? They're usually there for about an hour to an hour and 10, 15 minutes. Easily there. If it gets to be above 45 minutes now, our direction from their hospital liaison is to go knock on the door and let the nurse know we're still there. But we're not the only ones that are there. Houston's got, well, we have one or two trucks sitting there. Houston's got five or six. So they recognize that we only have two trucks. But we also have to be sure the patients won't be happy if someone's being. I visited Bunker Council meeting last month.
Can you
experienced wall time. Well, you told me about it while I was there. We didn't there, what, an hour? Hour and a half?
Hour and a half. Be fair for all those that enjoy getting to the very end of the panel.
Anyway, other questions? So you just need to know that's something that I'm watching very closely. I get these times in the morning when I come in. I do my reports to you guys what we did yesterday. And then I spend the rest of the day checking all times and filling in this chart to be sure we're doing that. I'm spending easily 30% more time on my day every day doing statistics and things to be sure that we're keeping track of when we're in the black, remember that chart, when we're in the black, when we're in the yellow. Last month we used Houston twice and our ambulance twice. So it's averaging four times a month we use our third ambulance.
Chief, just so I fully understand, so the our crew can't leave until that patient gets off our stretcher and processed into the hospital.
Well, that's a good question, Mayor. The minute the door opens, they process the patient in the hospital.
Yeah.
Because they start charging that patient as soon as they walk in the hospital.
Okay.
But we can't. I have a problem leaving our patients unattended. We just can't do that. So until they take possession of the patient. Now, there is a discussion we had several months ago about waiting 15 minutes and then telling the nurse that we're leaving and that here's your patient. I had trouble doing that with the judge. If you know, that just doesn't seem right to me. We provide top level care and we continue doing that until they assume care. And in some places now, legally, we could do that because the hospital has the legal obligation to have that patient as soon as they walk out of hospital property. Because what was happening was ambulances were, I was in Georgia at the time, ambulances were driving onto hospital property and the ER wouldn't let them offload the patient. So they changed the law to say, if you're on hospital property, you have to be treated, even if you don't have insurance, because that was the problem. They realized at Memorial City, most of our patients have insurance. It's, and that was told to me by the EMS liaison, that the money is important to them too, and that they get that. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Okay, anything else?
I need some very strict data. Got it.
All right, next, any other discussion on that?
We have no
issue. Next item of business, let's go back to 5B. I think
you have
a motion to consider the Cody.
I move we proceed with the coding, but I would like to see that also put on the tower because I think that the cost is moderate enough that the additional cost of doing the tower is not material, so I would suggest that we do both the roof on the annex and the tower if we're doing it.
We actually don't have the tower as an action item, so we can do the annex roof, but the tower would have to be considered later.
Go ahead, Chief.
This contract wouldn't do the tower because of the height. He said he would need to assemble scaffolding to get that high. It's four-story tower. That's why he didn't bid the tower.
Okay.
So we would have to find somebody else to do it.
I withdraw my motion and move only that we proceed immediately or as soon as we can with the replacement of the annex roof, or not with the treatment of the annex roof, per the bid that was received.
Okay, it's a motion seconded.
Fourth.
Yeah.
You want some discussion?
Sure.
So, after discussion, what I just heard a while ago, coming back to this and possibly wanting to build a red quotation in more detail for this.
I can't hear you.
So after you all decided to bring this back up, I went back and read your quote, and I'm a detail guy. There's some things that we were going to have done when the other contractor bid the
a metal. There's a lot of caulking around the building and the masonry that needs to be redone. That's not included in this bid. I don't know what it would cost to do. There's window sills that have cement that's got large voids in it. Those are places moisture can get in the wall. There's expansion joints that need to be cleaned out, new backer rod, new ceiling. The product that he wants to use for the horizontal joints on the roof is known as MD1. It's a commonly used urethane, and that's adequate for all of those conditions. I think that while we have somebody with the skill level that they probably have to put cement on and make it look reasonably good, that we need to get him to come back and do something.
Are you proposing a rebidding of this project?
Not a rebidding, but adding.
Is anything in the additional work that you're suggesting that we do, and that makes perfect sense to do that, is it inconsistent with getting the sealant put on? In other words, could we proceed with that? Would you suggest that we have the same contract to do that, or would it be a separate trade if we do that?
I think the only reason that I would is if it was my house, I would want the same guy doing it, buying all the same materials at the same time, the same color box, and all of these issues.
Does the roofer do the caulking?
I can only assume that if he's doing other sealants on the roof with the caulk gun, or whether it's hydraulic, he knows how to call. And most roofers and painters use similar materials like backer rod and such.
Would you say another $5,000?
I think that would probably be more than enough.
You know, my suggestion would be that we put another $5,000 or $7,500 into it and ask that contractor to go ahead and do that while he's in there.
Yeah. John Cooper's here, so I want to confer a question to him, if I may. John, you've done work with these people before. You know about their company. Am I making the correct assumption that we may be able to get them to do some other sealing around the building? Oh, really? Can you answer that the people you gave us contact or gave them introduced us to has the ability to do some other caulking around the building? I can ask that question. He does. If he can or doesn't want to, we'll get him to come out.
So we just prove the amount of money. Prove the amount of money we think that will cost. Spend it. Don't.
Right.
The contractor won't do it. We got to find somebody else who can use the money to do that.
That's generally what we have done.
Yeah. So
I just said we do the roof.
Just to $20,000. We're just going to put $20,000 to the roof.
Up to.
And if we can get the same contractor to do the caulking, we can get the same contractor.
I'd accept that as an amendment to my motion that we authorize up to $20,000 to put the coating on the roof and do such caulking and other work as is required to seal the building.
Okay. That's a motion and a second. Okay, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion passes. Thank you.
We'll go to work.
Okay. Next order of business, we had on the agenda an executive session that the chief and his counsel have asked to have an open session.
He has asked it to be an open session.
But there's nothing to discuss tonight, so I'd like to pass on that agenda item and just move on.
And so we would just need a motion to table.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you. And therefore, Brandon, we don't need item 7.
That's correct.
Okay. Item 8, future topics. EMS revenue 2023, I think we already had a little discussion about that. You want to discuss that?
No. Put it on the next meeting.
Okay, next meeting. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's okay.
We need a motion?
No.
Okay. Next item is the next meeting date. I believe, Marlo, when is it? It's, the next meeting would be late in December? Regular council commission.
This is a special meeting, so we are typically the fourth Wednesday of each month, is that right?
Yes, the fourth Wednesday.
Which would be the 28th for December.
28th. I don't know if we're going to be able to get a quorum.
I'm new, but I was told that the custom has been that the December meeting was canceled. Is that correct?
We move into January.
We can always have a special meeting if there are significant issues that need the commission to take action on. But okay. Otherwise, we've had enough meetings to meet the requirements for the year.
So do we need to formally act to cancel, since that's a regular scheduled meeting?
Yeah, we do.
I move we cancel the December meeting and have a special meeting in the morning.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No? Okay. So we'll set up the next meeting in January. Okay. Can I have a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, thank you.
January?